Mr. Rich Eisen.
Oh, yeah, everybody. Oh, yeah. It's hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Full on conversation with Joel Klatt, my colleague from Fox Sports, who'll be sitting next to me at the NFL Draft 1 week from tonight in Kansas City, Missouri. If you missed it, guess what? There's our YouTube page. There's the Rich Eisen Show collection page, our video on demand service. There's also the re-airing of this show right here on the Roku channel. It's great when you're through with a dynamite 40-minute long conversation on this program, which what we love having extended conversations, deep dives, as they may say in the business. And then somebody gets in your ear. Somebody is one of my my terrific colleagues. You're one of those, Chris.
Oh, thank you.
TJ, you're one of those. And I would say this even if Del Tufo was there, Jay, you're one of those. But it was Mike Hoskins saying to me, Tom Brady was asked at a conference in Miami if he's going to come out of retirement and play for the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. That soundbite exists.
Oh, yeah.
It's being turned around.
Yep.
And we're going to play it. And as a matter of fact, what we're going to do, because it's what we do in the business, we're going to tease the hell out of that.
Tease.
Oh, my goodness gracious. The two words, though, I heard the soundbite in the commercial break. The two words for it are word and salad. Oh, baby. So we'll build that drama. Jackson Smith and Jigbo will be in on this show in hour number three. Joel Klatt just called him the best receiver in the draft. Joe Carter, the World Series champion from the Toronto Blue Jays two times over. He'll be joining us in about 20 minutes time. But joining us right now to kick off hour number two of the program could be the first defensive back taken in this year's draft. No doubt expecting to hear his name 1 week from tonight. Joining us from the Alabama Crimson Tide program, none other than Brian Branch here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Where have I found you? Where are you on planet Earth right now, Brian? Where are you?
Georgia, Fayetteville.
That's your hometown, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How'd you play for Alabama then? How did that happen? What happened?
Just Georgia let me out, and they tried to recruit me late. So Alabama once I feel like Coach Saban called. It was wraps.
Hmm. So what do you mean they tried to recruit you late, Brian? What happened? What happened?
They tried to recruit me like after Alabama came. Mm-hmm. Alabama was like one of my latest offers, and they came, and Georgia tried to come even later after them. So
too late. If you the phrase "if you snooze, you lose"
yes,
applies.
Sir.
Okay. And when you said Saban called you, what do you mean? Walk me through that that conversation, Brian.
Just the fact that like I feel like when Saban calls, you gotta go. And just meaning of when I went on a visit to Alabama, I talked with him, and he told me like what I could do, to reach my reach the best version of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that nobody else would teach me the stuff that he taught me if I went to Alabama. And he was a great mentor and great coach. So
did you go in his office? You sit in his office?
Yes, sir.
What's his office looking like?
Huge. You got rings everywhere. Rings everywhere, comfortable couch,
Okay. I mean, that's a heck of a combination. Rings everywhere, comfortable couch. So he's flexing, is basically what you're saying, with his office situation. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. And then now let's flip the page to playing for him. What was that like, playing for Nick Saban, Brian?
At first, it took a little bit of adjustment to it. He gonna get on to you, and he does that. When guys come in there their freshman year, he does that just to see how they react, how they gonna handle themselves. Can they persevere? And it's like tough love almost.
Mm-hmm.
And my first year, he was getting on to me every day. I mean, I can come out there for warm ups, and he'll start yelling at me. And He does that just to see what type of player you are. And, it helped me out in the long run, I feel like. And, he's just an overall great coach. He taught me a lot of stuff, the little details. He's just a great coach, great overall coach.
So did you know at the time, Brian, you were being tested, or did somebody have to take you aside and let you know this is what he's doing?
Somebody had to take me aside. I remember Coach Coach Scott and Coach Kelly at the time, you know, took me to the side and told me, like, if he ain't getting on to you, then you should be worried. But if he getting on to you, then, I mean, he love you.
Huh. Interesting. And then so at first it confused you or perhaps threw you off a little bit. And then at the end of your tenure there in Alabama, you realized what you had gained from it. Is that an appropriate way of putting it then?
That's correct.
Okay. Then I will ask you and to button up this part of our conversation, Brian Branch, the same question I have asked, I believe, to every Alabama prospect we've had on this program in the history of this show, and it's been on there for 8 years. Right, Chris Brockman?
That's correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
I've asked it of Tua, of Mac Jones, name it on and on and so on and forth. I think I asked this of Bryce Young last year. So I'll ask you, what's the most angry you've ever made, Nick Saban, then? What's the most pissed off you've ever made, Coach?
Oof. I would say it was one my freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had got beat, and I was mad at myself, and I threw my helmet, and like, oh my God! As soon as that helmet hit the floor, Branch, he starts running over to me. He throws his hat. You know, he's hot. Like I'm hot because I just got beat, and he's over there hot at me for even, you know, showing like defeat. And He's hot, and he start yelling, like, you know, telling me get back to the play, just going off on me. And I think that's the most piss I ever made him.
Is it because you threw your helmet, not because you were beat? It's because of the way you reacted to getting beat. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And when his hat, was it one of those Panama hats, or it was a visor, or what was it? What was one of the famed Saban hats?
Yeah, one of his famous hats okay. that he always wears.
Wow.
Straw hat.
Man, okay. So then there were no Bofa jokes that day from him, is what you're saying.
Oh, no, sir.
Have you ever been on the business end of one of the Bofa jokes from Nick Saban, Brian?
Yeah.
Okay. Can confirm? Is what you're saying? You can confirm that? You've done that?
Yeah.
You've been there? Okay. Well, then, hey, man, it started where he's getting on you. You don't know why he's getting on you, and it ends with you getting bofed by him, and now you're going off to the NFL. So it all worked out for you, right?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. So what will a team get in Brian Branch if they draft you 1 week from tonight, Brian?
Just the overall dog. You know, I feel like a lot of people say they're going to come in there and work, you know, but I feel like, I mean it. Like, I work, you know, and they're going to get a workhorse. They're going to get, especially on the defense end, somebody who can play wherever the coaches need me. I feel like I can play, and they know I can play any position. And I just feel like they're going to get an overall dog.
Who do you model your game after? I guess, who did you emulate growing up playing this position? This is a unique position to play, obviously, on a football field. Brian?
Tyrann Mathieu, Tua Palamalu, and growing up watching Minka too, just mm-hmm. all three of them, also Cam Chancellor. It was like four of them that who I really
Man,
watched.
You named some good ones right there. I imagine Minka you've spoken to, right? I imagine there's a line of communication, a Crimson Tide line, or no?
To be honest, no, I haven't spoke to him.
Okay. Have you ever met any of these guys then, Brian?
No.
Okay.
No, sir.
We got to work on that for you. All right.
Okay. That's my plan. I got to scratch it off my bucket list.
Okay. Maybe you meet him in Canton, Ohio about 15 years from now. What do you think about that idea?
Hey, that's the plan.
That's the plan. Who have you visited with? How many teams have you visited with, Brian?
I visited with 8 different teams for my party visits.
Can you rattle some off for me? Do you mind, please? Who have you visited with?
Just really from the, you know, teams on the East.
Mm-hmm.
I visited to one West Coast team. Pretty much teams on the East.
Okay. So if you're being coy about it, one of the teams on the East has to be the Patriots, right, Brian?
No, I didn't visit with them.
Oh, okay. All right. That one kind of surprised me. What about Pittsburgh? Did you visit with Pittsburgh?
No, sir. I didn't visit with them.
All right.
Jets? Did you visit with the Jets?
I visited with a New York team.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I don't know if it could be Buffalo. Did you visit with Buffalo? Is that where you're going with? Don't worry about it. You're getting drafted in a week. Don't worry, Brian. This is fine.
No, I ain't visit with Buffalo. I visit with the Giants.
There you go. All right. Very good. New York Giants. Okay, that's good. That's a good one. We checked that one off the list. All right. Very good. This is going to be exciting for you. Who are you going to Kansas City, Brian?
Yes, sir, I am.
Oh, man. How excited are you for that?
I'm very excited.
Who's going to be with you?
Just my immediate family.
Okay.
My mom, brothers, and sisters.
Okay, your mom. And what do you think your dream coming true in front of her eyes is going to mean to her, Brian?
It's going to be big, you know. She, you know, all the sacrifice she made for me growing up, you know, it wasn't for nothing. And just her watching me work these past few years, you know, is huge. And it's just, it's going to the next level. And I know she's very ecstatic for me. Just got to keep on proving her, make her happy.
Do you mind telling a story about what sort of sacrifice she did make for you, Brian?
Just growing up, you know, she raised all of us, like me and my three other siblings, by herself. And, you know, she would spend, we all play sports. And just the fact that, you know, she couldn't do the stuff that she wanted to do because she had to pay for our sports. Like my football at the time was like $750 just to play football for rec league. And like she was mad, and sometimes she didn't know how she was going to pay that the next year. And she always made it happen. And so just for her to do that, she's my hero.
What's her name?
Sharon Brent.
Okay, so Sharon's going to be there. This is going to be big. Do you have your fit picked out? We all set on that front?
Yes, sir. I got that picked out.
You want to give me a little bit of detail on that?
Just a double-breasted suit.
Okay.
Double-breasted.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. So you got this whole thing picked out. I'm excited for you. Good luck to you. This will be hopefully the first of many times you come on this show. And I appreciate you sharing as much as you did.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
And I loved both of your stories about Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Brian.
Got to tell us a joke.
We need one of the jokes.
Tell us a joke, Brian. What do we got?
You got a good joke?
Yeah. It was after a play. I was limping. You know, I think I hurt my ankle a little bit, and I started limping. And then I limping to the sideline, and I look up behind me, and Coach Saban followed me and limping. He limping, trying to mock me, trying to mimic me. And when he gets close to me, he asked me, "So do you need a tampon or something?"
Oh,
and,
no. Oh, my gosh. Brian Branch, you are crazy. Did he do both a joke with you, or he did not?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, Brian, you be well at the draft, okay? You have a great night, all right, brother?
Yes, sir.
We'll see you soon. That's Brian Branch, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Branch. And now, Chris Brockman, you have now learned firsthand. Ask questions you only know the answer to.
Yeah, but that worked out way better for us.
Yeah, it worked out better for us. How'd that work out for Tiger a few weeks ago? Not so great. Bofa.
Well, the thing is, they're not Bofa jokes. That's where you got he may have gotten confused.
Yeah, I like Bofa jokes.
It's a D's.
No, but we should have said, you know.
Bofa D's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shout out to
breathe through it. I'm breathing through it. Breathing through it. Okay, let's take a break. Joe Carter's going to join us. Where's his baseball? Not to go full.
Great question.
Warren from you know, Something About Mary.
Yeah, not to go Something About Mary on you. Who has his baseball? Joe Carter when we come back. Oh, God. Noble is a training brand for people who work hard and don't believe in excuses. No Bull's performance footwear, apparel, and accessories are worn by some of the fittest athletes on earth and is now the official combine training partner of the NFL and the official on-field supplier of apparel and headwear for the NFL Scouting Combine. Head to www.nobullproject.com/NFL to see how No Bull forever changed the NFL Combine and to shop football training essentials and more gear for your day-to-day workouts. Stay tuned to the Rich Eisen Show and keep your eyes on our Twitter feed and YouTube channel as I'm hosting a new segment sponsored by No Bull called From the Combine to the Draft. I'll profile a few players' journeys from the physical and mental tests of the NFL Combine as we head towards the thrilling moment when the picks are announced in Kansas City during the draft. That's twitter.com/RichEisenShow and youtube.com/RichEisenShow. From the Combine to the Draft, sponsored by Noble. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1-quarter moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold. Look who's stopping by right now, guys. Joe Carter is on this program. We talked about this golf tournament with John Smoltz a couple of weeks ago. It's the second annual Invited Celebrity Classic, nationally televised PGA Tour Champions event. 78 PGA Tour Champions, 40 sports and entertainment stars going down. Well, right around the corner from where the old Texas Stadium used to exist in Irving, Texas, at Las Colinas Country Club, live on the Golf Channel all 3 days of competition. Joe Carter here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you been, Joe?
Rich, my buddy, it's been forever.
Too long.
How are you doing?
Way.
Yes.
Too long. Way too long.
You know, I still got that tape of you and my man, Stu Scott.
Mm-hmm.
For my retirement party back in 1999. You guys were so gracious to send that video wishing me a happy retirement, and I really appreciate it. So, but no, you're my man. How's everything going?
Well, Joe, I'm just going to go full disclosure here on you. First of all, I did it because, you know, you were so great as a ball player and a great human being, but I'm also, you know, full disclosure, a diehard Yankee fan. I couldn't wait for you to retire. You wore me out, brother. You wore me out.
No.
You and Wamco and Cito Gaston and Dave Stewart coming over and just, you know, pulling down the brim of his cap, and you were wearing me out. I'd had enough of you, Joe.
Yeah, was Stu, was he? I mean, if you ever had to face Stu, I mean, the first time I faced him,
yep.
We were in Oakland, and I get in the box, and I take a look at him, I get ready, and then I call timeout, and I asked Terry Stonbach, I said, can he see? he had that hat all the way down. I mean, he looked menacing.
Yeah,
I was like, I just wanted to make sure.
Joe, my son's a little league pitcher right now, and sometimes the bill of his cap is too flat. I take it, and I put the brim, and I curve the hell out of it, and I'm like, take that hat and pull it down and look in. Because, you know, I try to show him videos of Dave Stewart. I'm like, you got to. I don't know how intimidating a 12-year-old can be, but I'm trying, man. You know, I'm trying every trick
of
the trade.
You know what? Well, these 12-year-olds, I mean, they see all the players wearing, and they see all the flat bill. And I hate the flat bill. The straight across.
Right.
I said, no, pull it down. Yeah. I want a curve in there, baby.
I love it. Joe Carter here on the Rich Eisen Show. Joe, where is the baseball you hit off of Mitch Williams? We were wondering that. Where is that baseball right now?
I do have the baseball.
Uh-huh.
It is very safe.
Okay.
And secure.
Okay.
Something that happens, you know, those are momentous occasions, and I knew I was going to hit one, so I told myself, don't hit it into the stands, you'll never get it back. So I took a pitching wedge, my 135 club.
Yes.
The back of the wall was 135, so I kept it low. It hits the back of the wall, get the spin, and it goes back to our bullpen catcher, John Sullivan. And after the game, he comes in and he gives it to me. Now, here's the thing. The Hall of Fame was there, and they ran to him after the game. And he goes, John, where's the ball? Where's the ball? He goes, I don't know what happened to the ball.
And he gave
the ball to me. So I'm in possession of it.
Yeah, that's the only walk-off home run in the history of the World Series by somebody who was trailing at the time. You know, I mean, Mazeroski hit his in a tie game. You were down by two. That was a three-run jack. And when that ball was leaving the yard, Joe, what was going through your head as the ball's leaving the yard?
First of all, I hit it. I knew I hit it hard enough. I didn't know if I hit it high enough because I lost it in the lights. It was a line drive. And as I was jumping up halfway down the first baseline looking to see if it was going to get over the fence, that was all I was thinking about was get up, get up, get up. And once I saw it get up and once I saw Petey Caviglia kind of stop, turn his back, and I'm jumping up and down, and the first thing I thought of was, Joe, stop jumping and touch all the bases. Make sure you touch them all. Yes. That's exactly what I thought, and that's exactly what Tom Cheek said.
Yep. Touch them all.
Yeah.
Because you'll never hit a bigger home run in your life. Yeah, I mean, what a yeah. call that was. And it was spot on for that. And what a team. What a team you guys had. I mean, the fact that Paul Molitor was the one who got on as the tying run, bringing you as the winning run to the plate. We all remember Devin White, Roberto Alomar. I can go down the list because it was called Whamco. You know, Molitor was the M, you were the C, Olerud was the O, and then I don't know where you'd fit Ricky Henderson, and he came in a trade prior to that season. You already won a World Series, right? So
we just put a hyphenation. We put a hyphenation right there. So, you know, you had H Whamco. So.
Right? I mean, and so...
hyphen Whamco.
You got to give me... What's your favorite Ricky Henderson story, Joe? You got one?
Oh, man. There are so many of them. But the best one was when he was with Oakland. And in 1990, Kirby had just signed the first $9 million contract. He signed a three-year deal for $9 million.
Puckett, you're talking about, right? Kirby Puckett?
Puckett. Uh-huh. And then Ricky signed right after that for the same amount, 3 years at $9 million. And I was just traded to San Diego, so I did one up. They gave me $100,000 more. And so Ricky, he got the signing bonus of $1 million, okay? So now, the end of the year, the A's are going through their books and ledgers, and something's not adding up. You know, they've got an extra $1 million in their account. And they go back, and they look, and they go, oh, come on, really? So they call Ricky. They said, Ricky, where's the check we gave you for your bonus back in January? And he had put it encased in glass and hung it on the wall.
Unbelievable. He framed a $1 million check.
They said, Ricky, take a picture of it. Go put the check in the bank and take a picture and put the picture of it on the wall.
That's right. Do we know if he ever cashed it? No, he did cash it, but
he lost about $35,000 that year. That's when banks did pay interest when he had money in the bank.
Unbelievable. Now, you may not know the answer to this, but I heard that when Ricky wound up on the Mets – and Olerud was his teammate again. Right. He told Olerud, hey, man, I used to play with somebody who also wore a helmet in the field as well. And Olerud had to tell him, yeah, that was me, Ricky. Is that true?
That is true.
It is true?
That is true. That is true. The other one is when Ricky left us and went back to the A's. The A's had come to town, and they had, you know, my billboard all over town showing the home run. And so going to the ballpark, and so all the A's were talking about it. You know, they was like, oh, you know, where were you at is when this happened? Where were you at when Joe hit that home run? Where were you at? And everybody went down the back of the bus telling them where they were at, what they were doing. And then Ricky goes, I was on second base.
Hey, man, he was. And if I'm not mistaken, him being on base is what made Mitch Williams slide-step for the first time in his career, and he even was slide-stepping and threw that pitch to you that you hit out of the park. Is that true, too?
Yeah, that's true, because I was looking for a breaking ball because he threw me a pretty good breaking ball that pitched before, and I lost it, and I still swung at it. So I'm looking breaking ball, but because he did the slide-step, he threw it down and in. He came down and in. And, Rich, you know my happy zone is down and in.
Yep.
And like I say, I just went down and got it. But See, we go back a step further. When Molitor got the base hit, I was very upset because Ricky, he's supposed to be one of the fastest guys in all of baseball, the stolen base king, and he can't go from first to third on a base hit. That's ridiculous.
Right.
I got on him. I said, he's supposed to be on third base so I can get at least tie the game up.
Right. Instead, you just went over the wall, and the rest is history. And interestingly enough, it was the the previous championship out of Toronto until Kawhi and the Raptors delivered one for the NBA fans up there. And, you know.
Yes.
It's unbelievable. I love these stories. Joe Carter here on the Rich Eisen Show. Again, I know you're out there in this golf tournament. Did you see what happened with Max Scherzer and his pitching hand and the stickiness and all that stuff?
No, I did not. No, I played in the Pro-Am yesterday.
Got it.
And then we went down and went fishing, caught some big old crappie last night and got back. And so, no, I didn't see what happened.
Yeah, he got the gate. He had some stickiness on his hands, and they sent him out. And, you know, it's a whole long story. But, you know, it's kind of crazy sometimes in baseball. You haven't seen this in a while. It's somebody getting ejected for sticky substances and things of that nature. But, you know, he said it was just rosin and sweat. I'm just throwing it out there in case you'd seen it. So, you know, I'm just throwing that out there. So what's your general sense of the way the game is played today then, Joe? Let me just throw that one in your direction.
Totally different. You know, they've made the game a little bit more interesting for the young kids because they've sped it up with all the new rule changes. Guys who played back in my day, Juan Guzman, right now, if he was pitching right now, we'd still be in the first inning because he would have given up. He would have had about 12 walks because he would take so long. But, you know, they're trying to make the game interesting. But this analytics, it just behooves me. It's great for golf as far as launch angle.
Yes.
But, man, I have never seen so many hitters hitting around the Mendoza line, you know, and driving in, you know, hitting 25, 30 home runs with 70 RBIs. I'm like, come on, really? Because of the way they're teaching the launch angle and everything, you know, they're either striking out or popping up, you know, with guys on base. And for me, it's totally, it is so different than the way that we were taught. But, you know, if baseball, the owners, if they're paying $15 million a year for guys to hit 200 and, you know, with those launch angles, then more power to the players. They're doing what management wants them to do because of the analytics.
Yeah, I mean, I understand they have a role and whatnot. It sometimes just drives me a little crazy when you see pitchers, you know, get taken out because it's the third time through the order and things of that nature. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know if we'll see a 300 win pitcher anymore. I don't know how many complete games we're going to be seeing too much of anymore. It's just a different game. But also, back in the day when you were throwing – you were playing, not everyone who came out of the pen threw 100, you know?
No, that is true. And now they're teaching these kids. And what it is, it's a combination of all these young kids because they were been on pitch counts since they were in Little League.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're only going there. You know, when you're in Little League, you're playing, you can throw 25, 30 pitches, okay? And then you got to rest like 2 or 3 days, and you can throw 30 more. And so that's the way they did not build up their stamina. And so now you get to the big leagues where five innings is now a quality start. And so if everything is conducive to going five innings, and now they say, hey, you give us five innings and go out there and just throw lights out for five innings, and in the back end of the bullpen, we're going to bring in three guys throwing 100 miles an hour, and that's the way it's going to work. So that's what's slowing the game down because, you know, I mean, I would love to have, you know, guys like Nolan and Randy Johnson. You know, the third time through the order, they go, "Well, we can't face these guys anymore. Let's take them out." that would have been great.
I don't know. The manager might have gotten noogies from Nolan Ryan if you'd attempted that. I mean, they might have treated the manager like Robin Ventura. You know, I mean, that might have happened.
You're like, hey, you better get back in that dugout. I'm not coming out. You kidding me?
I hear you.
I mean, work the sweat up for five innings.
And then you want to talk about different times, Joe. You mentioned how Ricky Henderson had set a standard with a $9 million, three-year, $9 million contract. Ohtani's going to get a $600 million contract. I mean, that's going to happen. 100%.
Well, name me one guy who can go out there and win you almost 20 ball games and hit you 30 home runs and steal about 20 bases and score all those runs. I mean, Ohtani, I'm in awe. He is a freak of an athlete, and I absolutely love it because he's a ball player. He's just not a pitcher. You know, pitchers are non-athletes. No, Ohtani is not a non-athlete. He's an athlete.
Well, you know, I agree with you. I don't know about the pitcher being a non-athlete. I need to make sure that Smoltz does call back into my program. But Ohtani, you know, what he's doing is remarkable, and he keeps getting better, and he's a star. He and Trout at the end of the World Baseball Classic was one of the best confrontations I've seen in years. That was incredible.
Made for TV, made for baseball.
It sure was. So, Joe, before I let you go on your day, I imagine as you're getting ready to play in the second annual Invited Celebrity Classic here, you just called pitchers non-athletes. I'm assuming Smoltz isn't around right now. I'm assuming Maddux isn't within the sound of your voice right now, because those are the guys, or Mulder, right? These are the guys who normally win these things, Joe. I'll be very honest.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking, I mean, they play golf, but we're talking about on the baseball field. I mean, have you seen the clip where Smoltz tries to get that ball down the first base line and that's out there on YouTube and everything, and he's stumbling, hat coming off, and I rest my case with that.
Right.
If you haven't seen it, just look up John Smoltz, and you'll see that play, and then you say, yeah, okay.
Plus, if you had
the baseball field.
Let me cape for you, Joe. Plus, if you had gotten 4 days off in between your one day to play baseball to work on your golf game, you'd probably be way better than you are today. Right, Joe?
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly.
Right.
I mean, I give him credit, man. Out here on the golf course, and when he qualified for the one event on the senior tour, he's a player out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, you just have to hit the ball and go get it and hit it again. But he doesn't hit it very often, which is good in golf.
Mm-hmm. How's your game?
The game is going good.
Okay.
The game is going good. I'm down to my index is 1.7.
Oh.
So.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Touch them all, Joe. Hey, touch them all.
Yeah. We had the event with the LPGA that Hilton Grand Vacations put on. I finished 15th out of the 55 celebrities, so that was the highest I finished. And I just saw my odds. My odds have been going up. I'm now 50-1. So, Rich, I'm moving up the ladder.
Okay.
So, we're looking for the dark heart. The dark horse course in this race is me.
Okay. I like it. And so, do you know the furthest you've ever hit a baseball? Do you know the distance of one of your tape measure home runs? Do you know?
488.
488. Where was that one?
In the Sky Dome.
Oh.
We played the A's, and that was the same series. McGuire hit one in the fifth deck, and I believe it was John Wasdin, and he had struck me out the time before on a pitch down and in that I took, and Mark Williams, the umpire, I looked at him, I said, Mark, that is not a strike. I said, it's down and in, it's not a strike, it's too low. He said, yes, it was. So I go back, my next at bat, he comes back with the same pitch, and I hit it in the fifth deck. And when I touch home plate, Mark Johnson, the umpire, says, see, I told you it was a strike.
I love that. So you've hit a baseball 162 yards. How's the longest you've hit a drive then, Joe? What's the longest drive you've had?
Longest I've hit a drive is about 401.
Now, were you in Colorado, or I mean, like, no offense.
No.
Okay.
No.
Sea level.
You get a little wind behind you. No, I could always move the ball.
Okay.
You know, now I'm 63 years old right now.
My
so,
gosh, Joe.
I mean, my carry just on an average day is probably I carry the ball about 285, and it rolls out. You know, it could roll out to over 300, but. You know, it's not about – I've learned and matured that it's not about how far you hit it. So as long as you put yourself in position for your second shot. So my game is like hit the fairway, hit the green, and then rely on your short game, your putting.
Well, I'll be tuned into the Golf Channel to see you compete this weekend. And this has been way, way too long. Let's do this more often, Joe. I would really love that.
Rich, I would love to. You've been one of my favorites all the time. I listen to your show. I see you on TV. And I'm like, hey, there's my buddy Rich. So it's much appreciated, much love to you.
I appreciate that too. I've just taken down the phone number here, and you look for my text. I'll hit you later.
Okay, sounds good, Rich.
All right,
appreciate it, brother.
You got it. It's Joe Carter, everybody. One of the all-time greats right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I must be honest, I completely forgotten that Stuart Scott and I had done that video for his retirement until he had just jogged my memory.
That's funny.
Man, I've been at this a while, huh? It's kind of wild.
It's awesome.
Wow.
It's awesome.
All right.
Sounds great. Jeez, 400-yard drive? Holy smokes.
Yeah. Well, age 63 is averaging 285.
I'll take that.
So the baseball is in his possession. The bullpen catcher ran the okey-doke on the hall.
It's $1 million baseball.
Don't you think?
I do.
Well, I mean, he's not selling that for anything.
Of course not. But
you're talking about the fan if he'd
caught it. I'm just saying if someone had caught it and held on to it.
He's good people. He deserves his baseball. All right, we'll take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Phone calls. Folks have been waiting for quite some time. We'll take those when we come back. And then at the top of the next hour, Tom Brady was asked if he would come out of retirement and play for the Dolphins. His answer, that's coming up.
April is National Financial Literacy Month. What is financial literacy? It's applying different skills effectively, including managing your finances, budgeting, and saving. It just so happens the Cumulus Podcast Network has three great podcasts to help raise your financial IQ. Stacking Benjamins with Joe Saul-Sehy, Bankrate's 2023 Best Personal Finance Podcast.
What's one of life's biggest expenses that we can maybe talk about reducing?
Housing.
Is housing on the list? Buying a house is the number two expense of all these expenses. What's a way that we can reduce our housing expense?
Move from Seattle to Florida.
Wow, spoken like somebody with a little knowledge of that situation.
Afford anything with financial journalist Paula Pant.
You have many financial goals. You want to buy or pay off your house. You need to replace your car. You want to pay for a wedding, send your kids to college, travel the world, and one day retire. But how?
And Webby Award-winning Brown Ambition with Tiffany the Budgetnista Alice and personal finance expert Mandy Woodruff.
When I was crafting my resume in my career, I wasn't thinking about the job I had. I was always thinking, like, what's going to impress the person who has my next opportunity and make them want to have a conversation with me? And yeah, I think people are not thinking that far ahead.
That's why we'd be leaning into you, career coach.
So, as you look to improve your financial literacy, follow Stacking Benjamins, Afford Anything, and Brown Ambition. Wherever you listen.
Okay, Jackson Smith and Jigba of The Ohio State is going to be joining us in the next hour. He's coming. He actually is being sponsored by Joe Malone London. Do we know about the lifestyle brand, the British lifestyle brand? Anybody?
How about that?
Anybody?
Joe Malone. Bueller? They make perfumes and stuff.
Yes!
I do have. Now, I didn't even think about that.
Fragrance,
yes.
Yeah.
I do know
and
Joe
apparently Moore. He's going to discover his signature scent.
Nice.
And should I tell him about my signature scent?
Yes.
Oh, well, what's your signature scent?
I don't know. It depends on how disrespectful I care to be to our guest.
I mean, you know, you're inviting.
I mean,
your
I did
house.
Say Garrett Wilson before he came in, and he became Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year.
And
I did tell him, you know, I was his father, right?
And that's before he was calling
me daddy. And then we had only won once when I said that to him. Now it's been two times in a row. We being Michigan, as if I was part of it.
You didn't play in the game.
I didn't. That's correct. I can confirm.
That was before Garrett went to your squad, too. So
that's
I hope
true.
You guys smoothed
oh,
that
God,
out.
Yeah. Oh, we smoothed. I saw him at the Wheels Up event at the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Remember the one that Chris Russo accused me of being like the Godfather sitting at? And everyone's
right.
coming up to my table.
That's right. So unlike
Ali, false.
Unlike Ali Wong and Stephen Hune, you guys have no beef. No beef
you.
Between you.
All right.
Okay.
Beef.
Apparently, there's something up with that show. I heard.
People like it.
It's pretty good.
But anyway, maybe my fragrance is winning.
Oh boy! Well, after
spray that on, and I only I spray that on in every November.
Hey, Rich,
is that too disrespectful?
On May the 23rd, that's going to be your fragrance, my friend. Winning.
Oh,
you know.
That's the day after the Emmys.
Yeah.
George Zuckerman? Okay.
I mean,
May 23rd. I appreciate it.
Jackson sent his, what, touchdowns, the end zone?
Well, certainly was in the Rose Bowl.
I mean, he's a very good
He player. Wore out Utah.
I don't know why.
One of the greatest Rose Bowls ever, if I'm not mistaken. Did he set a record in it?
I don't know why you want to try to dunk on this. He's a kid.
I'm not dunking.
He's a kid. You're trying to.
I'm not dunking.
Really?
Excuse me. No.
You think you're being so clever and smart. You didn't play in the game. You
Excuse
didn't,
me.
You didn't do anything. You sat on the couch.
I don't think.
He's out there.
Excuse. By the way, I don't think I'm being clever and smart. I am clever and smart. Okay? There's a difference between thinking you are and being. All right?
You should do that.
I'm trying to help you.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
You should do that.
You're trying to throw me off my game. My fragrance.
Smelling Nick, fresh
Nick
and clean.
Nick in Philadelphia. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Nicholas? What's going on, Nick?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for hanging on as long as you did. And I say that to everybody waiting on hold. We'll get to you all. What's going on?
Absolutely. I'd like to talk baseball.
Okay.
I agree with you. I enjoy the pitch clock.
Okay.
I do agree that from the ninth inning on, we should get rid of it. But I think when you compound the pitch clock with the earlier start times during the work week, I think you're getting an unintended consequence. Last week I went to the Phillies game. You know, the game starts at 6:40 now.
Okay.
So by the time you fight the traffic, rush hour traffic, when you're fighting everybody else coming to the game, by the time you get a parking spot, get in, sit down, it was already the top of the fourth inning. We had almost missed half the game. And now, with the pitch clock, it's you blink, the game is over. And, you know, by the time the game was over, we left, drove home. I had figured out we spent twice as much time in a car than we did sitting down and enjoying the game.
No kidding. I hate to tell you, Nick, and I think we're coming to realize that, and I haven't been to a game yet. Again, my 12-year-old went to one with a friend, and the dad who chaperoned the two of them went to get drinks and food for the kids in the second inning and got back in the seventh. And because things move so fast. Things move so fast. Not like he left the kids long for that long, but things moved so fast that the game was essentially over by the time he got back. And Brockman, you've been to a game. You went to one with Sarah and Cage in San Diego, right? Braves,
right.
Padres.
Yeah, we went on Monday.
2:22 was the time of the game?
2:22.
I think
it was only a 2-0 game. It went fast. And it was noticeable in the park.
Well, I think we're all going to learn, and it's only been 3 weeks so far,
yep,
is the pitch clock is for the television audience. It's not for those who go to the game. It's not. You know, those who actually, I think, take the time to go to a game are those who enjoy the nights in the ballpark, the days in the ballpark, the leisurely pace, the sitting around, the, you know, de-shelling your peanuts and just dropping the shells on the ground and eating and drinking and having a good time and just telling stories. But for those who are the pitch clocks for the television viewing audience, which is where I imagine most of the revenue, if you want to put the revenue on the table, that's what it's for. I think that's what it is. And thanks for the call, Nick. Appreciate it. Right? Am I?
I agree with you. Yeah.
The pitch clock is for the television, those who are sitting at home, mm-hmm, and where you have options to flip, you have options to click,
walk away.
You have options of what's on, what else is on. In the ballpark, though, you're there to just focus on the game. And
you better be focused, too, or you're going to miss stuff. I mean, Sarah had to get up and go, you know, to the bathroom, and I was, like, dealing with Cage. And all of a sudden, I look up, and there's two runners on, and it felt like it only had been a minute. Like, you got to pay attention. It's moved so fast. That was one thing I really noticed.
Well, you should always pay attention at a baseball game because there's this white object that could come out and clock you in the face.
No.
You probably should always.
Not anymore.
Well, also you need to pay attention because a future Hall of Fame starter might be out of the game because there's sticky substances on his hands.
Free Max. Nothing wrong.
You got to stop cheating.
I found that weird, Rich. Like, you know, we're all so happy about the fact that the games are moving along at a quicker pace. And then you get the caller who gave you us a completely different look at it. Like, well, it's moving too fast now. And I understand his point, but I think he might be on an island to himself.
I don't know about that. You're hearing a lot of people who think the game might be moving too fast. Those are the ones who go to the game. Those are the ones who go to the game. Those are the ones who are like, wait a minute, beer sales is being cut off now, and are hearing like it's going to be an extra inning, which isn't all that great if people are hopping in a car, right. You know, yeah. because the bottom of the eighth and the ninth inning may go so fast. Again, I think the answer to all of this is get the pitch clock innings 1 through 6 and innings 7 through 9, just let it go. But they want the television broadcast to be 2.5 hours, yep. 2 hours and 40 max. I would think if you asked anybody, put them on sodium pentothal, which, by the way, gets cut off after the seventh inning as well. You put them on that and ask them, how long do you want a game to be? I think they'd say 2.5 hours.
I think you're right.
Because that's how long, like, an extra long movie is. I mean, like, that's how long an NBA game is. Yep. That's how long an NFL game is, somewhere between 2.5 and 3 hours, mm-hmm. You know?
NFL?
NFL. Yeah.
3:15.
No, college football is 4.
NFL games are all over 3 hours.
Well, from 1 o'clock to sometimes 4:15 in the afternoon, I get it. 4 o'clock, sometimes it can be faster.
Conspiracy theories. Paranormal. UFOs.
In the 1960s, the United States and the Soviet Union started developing directed energy microwave devices. And even to this day, the United States government is still continuing its research into high-power microwaves. It is nothing compared to what China is doing.
Theories of the Third Kind on YouTube or wherever you listen.